Walt Meyer, thank you very much for joining me.
All right. Thank you for having me.
December CI's extent numbers are not out yet, but we know that November was a record low number. How is it shaping up so far?
Well, it's still quite low. December, we did see some more rapid freeze up and kind of the ice kind of starting to catch up. And that's not too surprising because what's been happening is there was a lot of open water areas that had a lot of heat in the ocean, and that heat needs to be dissipated before you can grow ice. In November, unusually, there was still a lot of heat in the ocean. It kept the November ice cover low, and now finally that heat is starting to be lost. And so things have started moving faster in December, but we're still quite low. I'm not sure if it will be a record low or not for the month, but it's been quite low.
Now, a lot of the conversation about sea ice extent has been about these record levels. But for you as a scientist, what are the things that you're looking for?
Well, I think from a scientific perspective, it's certainly interesting to kind of watch the horse race. And, it definitely has some excitement of, is it going to be a record and so forth, and then seeing things that we haven't seen before. But really, from a scientific perspective, what we're really focused on more is the long-term changes. Whether December ends up being the record lowest or it's only the second or the third doesn't really matter that much. What matters is that we're continuing this long-term trend towards less and less sea ice, particularly during the summertime, but also in other months.
We have talked a lot about that at some point in the mid or near future, we might come to a point where there is no summer sea ice in large parts of the Arctic regions. How about wintertime? How is Arctic ice changing in the winter?
Mm-hmm. Well, so in winter, what we have is we have less and less ice in the summertime. It's thinner ice. There's less ice cover. So in the winter, like I talked about, we have this ocean that's been absorbing in the heat in the ocean, so that delays the freeze up, and that's what we've been seeing in November and December. So we're seeing the ice forming later in a lot of different places, and we would expect that to continue, and maybe to continue farther north and extend farther north as we go into the future. That generally is going to make for thinner ice cover. Primarily because that's going to be, we're going to have more and more of the Arctic covered by what we call first year ice or seasonal ice, which is the ice that grows just over the course of one winter. And that can only grow to maybe a couple meters of thickness. The way you get thick ice is to grow the ice over several winters, and can kind of continually add on to the thickness through each successive winter and get what we call multi-year ice, which can grow 3 to 4 meters thick. And so we're seeing an Arctic more dominated by this first-year seasonal ice that's overall thinner. Now, the seasonal ice cover itself, it's going to be getting a later start because of the late freeze-up. But once the ocean loses its heat and the air temperatures are quite cold, the sun is down, you can grow ice quite rapidly. And so the thickness can kind of catch up to some degree. So the end of the winter ice thickness for the seasonal ice may not be that much different than what we've seen in the past. But what we see is an ice cover in Arctic at the end of winter covered mostly by first-year ice that's on the order of a meter and a half to 2 meters thick, as opposed to an Arctic Ocean back in the 1980s that was covered mostly with multi-year ice that's 3 to 4 meters thick. So overall, a less thick ice cover in the winter, even though the surface area coverage is not as different as it is in the summer. You know, the Arctic Ocean completely fills with ice every winter. It's not extending out of the Arctic quite as far south as it used to, but it's a smaller change in terms of the surface area relative to the summer. But the big story in the winter ice cover is the thickness, and that the ice is much thinner, and there's a lot more of the younger, thinner ice.
What happens with that multi-year ice? We seem to be losing more and more of it.
Correct. So you know, multi-year ice, basically, you know, you get multi-year ice by accumulating, you know, ice that doesn't melt over a summer, the first year ice that ages. So that's the source of multi-year ice. And the sink, so to speak, the where it goes is it goes out of the Arctic, it drifts with the winds and the currents out along the coast of Greenland down southward into the North Atlantic where it melts out. And so you've had this balance of, you know, you lose some ice throughout the year, particularly in the wintertime of the thicker multi-year ice, but then you gain it back at the end of each summer. And so you can have like an equilibrium there. But what's been happening is because of the melt, we're losing the multi-year ice at that same rate, or actually even a little faster because the ice is moving faster than it used to, but we're not replenishing it as fast. And another thing that we're seeing is another sink that started to form is that there's a significant amount of multi-year ice that's melting out within the Arctic Ocean during the summertime. In the past, melting 3 to 4 meters of thick multi-year ice was very difficult to do in the summer because it's just too much ice. There's not enough heat. But with opening up more open water areas and more seasonal ice cover, the ice is more broken up, and that heat can get to the thicker ice more easily, and the ocean heat can actually melt these 3 or 4 meters of ice cover during a summertime now, at least in some places. So you can kind of, an analogy is, you know, like a bathtub with the drain open and the spigot running. So, you know, you have, if you're in equilibrium, you have a certain level that's like your multi-year ice. Some of it's draining out through the drain, through, you know, along the coast of Greenland, and then it's being replenished by a faucet, the first-year ice aging into the multi-year ice. But now, you know, the drain is moving faster. And in fact, we've actually added another drain where this multi-year ice is melting during the summertime, and the spigot is giving less of a replenishment. So overall, that water level is getting lower. That indication of multi-year ice and a multi-year ice is getting lower and lower. And essentially, the bathtub, quote unquote, bathtub of multi-year ice is draining.
Hmm. What does it mean for the Arctic ecosystems?
So for the ecosystems, of course, you know, when you have a seasonal ice cover and more of a seasonal ice cover, a first-year ice cover, that means more open water during the summer. So the ecosystems are changed dramatically. I mean, summer is kind of the more active period, obviously, because that's when the sun's up and when things are warm. And so, you know, polar bears and so forth are active. And it has a variety of effects. You know, one of the things, of course, for animals that want the sea ice around, such as polar bears or seals, with less sea ice, they're adversely affected because they don't have the platform to travel on or to feed on or to birth pups on the case of seals. So that's an adverse effect. On the other hand, you have open water areas opening up that you know, gives a new habitat for ocean-loving animals, things like whales and fishes. We're seeing more algae blooms in the Arctic and earlier algae blooms because algae blooms under the ice, or at least not as extensively as when you have the ice cover there when the sunlight's out. Birds that feed on the fishes and so forth, they can go farther northward, and so we're seeing a really pretty dramatically changing ecosystem in the Arctic because of the loss of the summer sea ice.
How about the rest of the planet? Do we understand how this change in the multi-year ice affects the rest of the climate and the rest of the planet?
That's still an area of a lot of interesting research right now. One of the things, when we're removing the, we don't have the multi-year ice, that means we have more seasonal ice cover, means more of the Arctic Ocean open during the summertime, more heat absorbed by the ocean. And then as that heat in the ocean then feeds into the atmosphere in the fall and even into the winter. And so now we have, the atmosphere, particularly in the fall and winter, has been altered in the Arctic. And unlike Las Vegas, what happens in the Arctic doesn't stay in the Arctic. That change in the Arctic atmosphere and Arctic circulation, winds and so forth, that can have effects outside of the Arctic. Now, what those effects are and if we're seeing those yet is still a subject of some controversy. There are still some skeptics in how much the Arctic can influence climate further south, like in southern Canada and the United States and northern Europe. But we do see there have been several studies that have shown some linkages between the loss of sea ice in the summertime and changes in the weather pattern in the lower latitudes. And the way this works is that you have this cold air normally in the Arctic, and now it's not so cold, and that less cold air can more easily spill out into the south. It can more easily kind of kink the jet stream, which tends to run in a circular pattern around the Arctic regions, south of the Arctic, and that helps to steer weather systems. And so we're seeing more loopiness in the jet stream that seems to be associated with the Arctic warming in general, and also, which is contributed by the loss of the sea ice during the summertime. And that loopier jet stream, that can cause more extreme weather, more unusual weather events, bringing in polar air from the north, or bringing in warm air from the south into high latitude regions. You can have areas where kind of weather systems stall out within one of these loops, and you can get storm after storm, or conversely, areas of drought where you're just the normal precipitation patterns just start avoiding and moving on to different areas, and so there's lots of these patterns that are pretty intriguing. There's been some linkages shown, but there are still things we don't know. The data record is still pretty short. The climate system's quite complex. The tropics play a big role, and we've seen these types of events before. We're not seeing anything that we haven't seen before. It just seems like the frequency is increasing on these kind of unusual weather events. But we only have about 35 years of data, and it's hard to pull out changes in frequency and what are rare events, becoming more common over such a short record. So it's an area of active research. It's very interesting. It's very intriguing. It's not yet settled science, but I tend to think of it as, when you're changing an area like the Arctic Ocean as dramatically as we're seeing that change, an area that's the size of the lower 48 United States, and going from a very reflective ice-covered surface to a very dark ocean-covered surface, that's a big change in a big area, and that's going to have effects outside of the Arctic. You can't change that big of an area of the climate system and not have ramifications outside of it. It's just a matter of assessing and quantifying what those changes are and what the impacts are.
So what is it that you're going to work on in 2017?
Well, we're working here at NASA on a lot of different things in terms of improving our observations of the ice cover. And that includes looking at some of the new sensors that are up there that can give us more detailed information, also developing new data sets that can give us more information on the thickness of the ice cover and how that's changing. And the interrelationship between the ice cover and the atmosphere and how that those things are affecting each other. We're also working towards, not myself personally, but we have a big group here working towards the launch of ICESat 2, which is a new altimeter, which will measure the thickness of the ice directly, which we haven't been able to do at a large scale until recently. And you know, this is that the sensor's currently being built and put together and tested, and with a launch in about sometime in 2018, it looks like right now. And so there's a lot of work going into developing the algorithms, developing the sensor, building the spacecraft and testing and so forth. And I think that's going to be a real leap forward in our capabilities of measuring the sea ice thickness in a wide scale over the entire Arctic Ocean. That's really going to give us a much better picture of the thickness of the ice cover.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.